Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Now I have brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
So remember last time I spoke, it was 2 weeks ago, I spoke from the book of John, John 1, and I spoke about when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said to his disciples, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And they left John and they started following Jesus. And Jesus turned around and he said the very thing that Nick encouraged us with this morning. Jesus turned to them and said, "What do you want? What do you want?" So we started talking about the four prompts from that first encounter with Jesus' first disciples. The very first thing that Jesus does is he asks the question, "What do you want?" You know, what's interesting is their response was very, I guess it was intuitive because their instincts were right. I mean, they didn't give a list of things that they wanted. What they said was, in response to his question, "What do you want?" They said, "Where are you staying?" And so prompt number two then was asking Jesus, "And all the things that I'm involved in my life, everything that surrounds me, all the stuff that's in my sphere, where are you?" And then that fourth prompt was then, "Come and see." Jesus said to them, "Come and see." He didn't give them an address. He just said, "Come and see. Come and experience me in my space." And then that's when Jesus was introduced to Simon, who Jesus identified as Peter, the rock. And so the fourth prompt was, "Jesus, who do you say that I am?" When you come to that abiding place with Jesus, when you come to that space where you're abiding with him and he's abiding with you, John 15, when you're in that place of coming and seeing where Jesus is and being with him in that space, first of all of the longings of our heart ultimately are getting met there. So the answer to the question, "What do you want?" it starts to get fulfilled in that space. But then Jesus also begins to establish your identity in him. Like, you start to get the answer to the question, "Jesus, who do you say that I am?" You start to get a sense of his heart and his mind for you. So that was 2 weeks ago. Thanks for letting me bring that in as an on-ramp to what we're going to be sharing this morning, which is in John 1, starting in verse 43. Because we're moving through the book of John. And we know that John is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I've heard it said that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often the narrative or the story or the good news of Jesus, as in Jesus, the historic Jesus, you know, like Jesus who walked the earth and Jesus who performed miracles and Jesus who had amazing teachings and the life of Jesus. And John is sometimes referred to, and this is what I put the lens on, and I have been approaching the book of John as the gospel of the Christ, which are one and the same. But when you think about Christ, you have to think bigger than the historic Jesus. As Brian Fenimore brought to us last week at Easter, when Brian Fenimore was speaking to us about the resurrected Christ, the cruciform Jesus who is, yeah, the incarnation of the Christ, which, as we have read and we'll touch on here this morning, he's been there since the beginning. He was with God. He holds all things together. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. So Christ is the living expression of God, the divine. And so, as we're entering into relationship with Jesus, we're entering in not only to the historic teachings and the example of Jesus Christ as the man, we're also entering into the Christ who is Jesus. And it's much larger than I know. I'll just put it at that. I mean, it's much larger than I am able to grasp. So let's start with John 1:43. The next day, this is after that whole encounter that I shared where Jesus asked the disciples of John the Baptist, you know, all that stuff. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee where he found Philip and said to him, come and follow me. Now, Philip, Andrew, and Peter had all grown up together in the village of Bethsaida. Philip went to look for his friend Nathanael and told him, we have found him. We have found the one we've been waiting for. It's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. He is the one whom Moses and the prophets prophesied who would come. So basically he's saying, we have found the Christ. And Nathanael sneered, Nazareth? What good thing could ever come from Nazareth? And Philip answered, come and let's find out. There's a theme here. Come and see. Come and experience. Come and enter into. I mean, I love that Philip didn't engage him in an argument there, you know, like trying to convince him. He's just like, come, let's go find out. So verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here comes a true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive. Nathanael was stunned and said, but you've never met me. How do you know anything about me? Jesus answered Nathanael, right before Philip came to you, I saw you sitting under the shade of the fig tree. Nathanael blurted out, teacher, you are truly the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus answered, do you believe simply because I told you I saw you sitting under the fig tree? You will experience even more impressive things than that. I prophesy to you eternal truth. From now on, you all will see an open heaven and gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway reaching into the sky with the messengers or angels of God climbing up and down upon him or next to him. This is profound. So, Jesus, what do you want to tell us in this? I just pray for that spirit of revelation, the spirit of truth to lead us into truth here for you personally. So obviously this means a great deal to Nathanael that Jesus would see, says he saw him under the fig tree. So much so that Jesus' initial conversation with him answered that fourth prompt from 2 weeks ago. Who do you say that I am? Right? I mean, the answer to that question is enough for Nathanael to recognize Jesus as the one, as the Son of God, as the Christ. Now, the fig tree here is often a metaphor in Scripture of God's purposes and his destiny coming to fruitfulness, all right? So when we think about the fig tree, I just want to park it there for a second. Like, it seems a little bit, I don't know, like random that Jesus would say that. But I think it's really important because I think that scholars have believed that the term, I saw you under the fig tree, is actually, there's a couple of idioms here, you know, idioms. It's like a metaphor or it means something bigger than just the phrase itself. And the Aramaic, the phrase, I saw you under the fig tree, is kind of like the idea of, I've known you since the cradle. So that's kind of the idiom, like, I've known you forever. That would be one way that potentially Nathanael heard Jesus saying that, like, I've known you forever. But actually, I think since Nathanael was a lawyer, I don't know if you know that, but he basically had the equivalent of what's like with a PhD in Jewish law. The Jewish idiom for I saw you under the fig tree or being under the fig tree refers to someone who studies the messianic prophecies. And that's probably more accurate to what Jesus was conveying to Nathanael in that moment. It wasn't just that Jesus had a word of knowledge that, hey, before Philip came and grabbed you, you were sitting under a fig tree. I think there's more to it here, and I think this is important because that phrase, under the fig tree, referring to someone who studies the messianic prophecies, that's pretty significant. Especially for someone like Nathanael who has devoted a tremendous amount of their life energy to studying. In fact, Philip would say, you know, I found the one that Moses taught us about, right? So he's even like touching on that with Nathaniel. Like, this is going to convince him because I know this guy. He's my friend and he studies the scripture and he's looking for the Messiah. And so this actual phrase under the fig tree comes from Micah. So the prophetic book of Micah in chapter 4. I want you to listen to me read this and just kind of let this soak in a little bit. Starting in verse 1. And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountain. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways, that we may walk in his paths. In verse 3, then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Instead, each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid. So this phrase, sitting under the fig tree, refers to the coming of the Lord. It refers to not only the coming of the Lord, like as an event, but the coming of the kingdom of God being established on the earth as it is in heaven, that his mountain will be established and it will be raised above all the other hills, and there will be a heart change where no longer will the people be relying on the power of force and the will of violence that would be inflicted to establish dominion. But there would be a dominion that's established in the kingdom that would enable them to actually convert their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning forks. They would convert something that was intended to bring destruction into something that was intended to cultivate life and growth. Come on. So this is all happening here for Nathaniel, I think. I know it's happening for me as I was reading this. I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus. There's so much more to what you're saying here than a word of knowledge to Nathaniel that you saw him sitting under a fig tree. You're identifying him as one of the ones who has been longing for this and who has been praying for this and who has been willing to convert his, you know, sense of like, I'm reading a lot into it, I know, but just for me, this is what the Spirit is saying to me personally. So I'm learning from Nathaniel here, and I'm learning from this encounter that he's having with Jesus, because Jesus identifies Nathaniel as a true son of Israel in whom there is no deceit. Now that word deceit there, the original language there is dolos, which means using bait to hook or to allure an undiscerning person, especially those already, this is the definition, like we hear the word deceit and we think, okay, don't tell a lie. But this is deeper. Jesus is saying in the original language, Nathaniel, you're a person who does not bait someone in an attempt to exploit them. He's saying, because the language here is that it's a form of alluring or hooking someone. So your relationships don't have hooks in them. You're not trying to get something out of someone else. You're not manipulative. You're not gonna use someone's, like, actually the way that this is defined is like, it's especially when someone is festering with an excessive emotional pain that they are susceptible to being deceived. All right, so the only thing that Jesus, you know, is saying, he's not only saying like, this is who I see you to be, like you're a person that does not have deceit in your heart. You're non-manipulative. You know, he's basically saying you're not a Machiavellian. Do you guys know what that word is? Machiavellian is it's like a manipulative means of justifying, like the end justifies the means. It's like, use whatever means necessary to get your way, period. Exploit people if you need to, lie to them, manipulate. He's saying you're not that person. Now, ever since I was a young man, I've been attracted to the idea that people can be without deceit, all right? I mean, I know that for me, that was a value that was impressed upon me as a young man. And I've read this several times. Ever since I was a young teenager, I read about Nathanael and Jesus saying that to him. And I've always been attracted to this, that you and I can be without this type of deceit. Jesus is establishing Nathanael with the fruitful purposes of God. And as an initial disciple, he would later be referred to as the Apostle Bartholomew. I don't know if you know that, but Bartholomew and Nathanael are one and the same from what I've been reading, because Bartholomew is a family name. It means son of Ptolemy. Okay, so with his missions that he's, you know, established the Christian church historically in India and Armenia and Azerbaijan, I mean, Nathanael was a man of action, and he was killed in 71 AD. He was actually flayed and then crucified. So he was skinned alive. Yeah. And he was a man who knew the words of Micah, "Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord so he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Instead, each of them will sit under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid." As a disciple of Jesus, can we connect with the character of Nathanael? Can we be truthful? No hidden motives, not manipulative, not exploiting others' weaknesses for the sake of our own personal gain. Can we follow the ways of Jesus, the Christ, who put down the sword of empire for the sake of cultivating growth? You know that when the early disciples, the early church, before Christ was resurrected and then ascended, they thought he was going to take up the sword against the Roman Empire. They had it in their mind. That was their worldview. This is how the kingdom of God advances. They had it in their head. This is how the people of God established dominion. All right, so can we imagine beating the swords of whatever? I mean, the violence comes in a lot of different ways, right? It's not just like with a sword or a gun, but sometimes through word and through action against another. So it's a real challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for me. And so the question is, can we get it through our heads that the way to advance the kingdom of God on the earth as it is in heaven is without employing the systems of the world? You cannot advance the kingdom of God with the systems of the world, with the attitudes of the world. You can't fix what's broken with what's broken. So Jesus brings a whole new thing here, right? And so I'll just let that hang in the air for you and the Holy Spirit to sort out. It's a real challenge, especially in this day and age, man. I tell you, I don't know of any other time in my life where it was this easy to take up an offense, this easy to side with one side or the other, the us's versus the them's, the polarization. I mean, it has never been this easy. And so the messages that I'm hearing from Jesus to Nathanael and all of that, studying his life and experiencing some insight into what it means to sit under the fig tree, it's really about having a posture of the heart that's going to trust the ways of God and trust the ways of Jesus and walk in his ways as he will teach us those ways. So I'll let that hang, like I said. But let me change channels a little bit and take a minute and look at the prophetic encouragement that Jesus gives Nathanael in John 1:51. "I prophesy to you eternal truth. From now on, you all will see an open heaven and gaze upon the Son of Man like a stairway reaching into the sky with the messengers of God climbing up and down upon him." Wow, there's a lot in that. Like, I could probably devote a whole message on that. I'll just spend a few minutes talking about it. And we're gonna do that by looking into Genesis 28. You guys remember the stairway of heaven with Jacob? So Jacob left. This is Genesis 28:10. Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. And at sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp, and he stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against, and he laid down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw angels of God coming up and down the stairway, and at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are laying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth, and they will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything that I have promised you. And Jacob woke up from his dream, his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. And he was also afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up early, and he took the stone that he had rested his head against, and he set it up right as a memorial pillar, and he poured oil over it, and that place is called Bethel, which means house of God. Okay, I'll stop there. You know that in 1953, this church was established, and it was originally called Bethel. That's kind of cool. The encounter with God in Jacob's dream and the prophetic words of Micah, I want to bring those two together, pointing to the God of Jacob, establishing the house of the God of Jacob, as it said in Micah. They're both fulfilled in Jesus' invitation of Nathanael to follow him. Jesus is the fulfillment of the long-standing narrative of God establishing direct access to the divine. I'll say that again. Jesus is the fulfillment of the long-standing narrative that God will establish direct access to God, to the divine, to the unseen realm of God's kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. That's why we prayed the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. This has been something that Nathanael has been studying and praying into and longing to see the fulfillment of probably most of his life. And Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God coming up and down on who? The Son of Man, on Jesus, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. I read that from the New Living Translation. What I love about this is he's probably locked eyes on Nathanael, but then he converts the prophetic word from a singular person to a all y'all prophetic. You know, you will all see. You will all see. I've been exploring, you know, as we've talked about, the idea of Christ from the Gospel of John. And we remember that Jesus Christ is the living expression of God, the divine. And I just want to pause here for a second. And I just want to ask the Lord, like, what is it you want to reveal to us about yourself here as the stairway? And who are these messengers? Jesus, I don't want to simply point to this passage as a teaching tool. I want it to be an encounter tool. Like, we come to the Word, we come to you. Like, You're the living Word. You became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus, how is it that you want to encourage us this morning in this idea that we would all see heaven open, that we would all see angels coming up and down, that we would see you, and that we would experience you as this stairway between heaven and earth, and that we have direct access, and you are like inviting us into this house of God, you know, that was referred to in Micah. You have established your kingdom on the earth. You showed us a different way of experiencing and entering into a kingdom dominion that does not require violence. We suffer violence. We're susceptible to it, just like Apostle Bartholomew and many martyrs over the generations. But Lord, we are not of that. And so help us see you. I just want to come out of this prayer and just speak the truth. Jesus is the way. He's the door. He's the access point. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we come to the Father through him. And so I want to just acknowledge and praise him for his incredible generosity and kindness to extend this invitation to every single one of us. Whether you've been walking with the Lord for decades, or maybe this is brand new for you and you've actually been opposed to the idea of having a relationship with God, I just want to invite you to experience Jesus in new ways and to let the Christ impact you, like to let yourself enter into and see. And so with that, I just want to encourage us that in the beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, the living expression of God made all things. The Word of God made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. A fountain of life was in him, and his life is light for all humanity. And this light never fails to shine through darkness, light that darkness cannot overcome. And so with that, I'd like to pray and just invite the Lord to bless the eyes of your heart to see, as Paul prayed. So Lord, you have prophesied not only to Nathanael, but to all of us, that we will see in the unseen world of your kingdom. You've given us spiritual senses. You've given us the eyes of our heart to see, spiritual ears to hear, and an intuition to know. Because the most true thing about us is our spirits being united with Christ are eternal and made perfect in Christ. And you have clothed us in righteousness because of the sacrifice that you made on our behalf. And so we receive that grace and that gift fresh and new today. And we say, Lord, sanctify our imaginations so that we can see you, so that we can experience you, so that we can learn what it means to, like, not only like see angels. Like, I haven't actually seen an angel. I wouldn't mind. Maybe I should be careful what I ask for. I don't know. But Lord, I just thank you that there's more to this world than we see with our eyes. There's like this connection point in you, Christ, between what's happening on terra firma here on the earth and what's happening in the realm of heaven. And we thank you that you're our connection point to experience that. So we thank you, Lord, that you are our Bethel, that you are the stairway, that we have access to the divine through you. And so, Lord, I bless everyone's sanctified imagination. In the name of Jesus, the eyes of their heart to see, to be inspired, to know. I bless your spiritual ears to hear, to be attuned, and to be listening to the Spirit of truth. And I bless your intuition to know intimately the life and the love of Jesus. And I pray all this in his name. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.